today on Faith Forward with Pastor Howard John Wesley.
Ooh-wee, that's a word for somebody in church today. Because you know the command of the Lord is that you see evil around you. You see people lying. You know folk aren't doing right. You know they're in the dirt. And yet the Lord's commandment to you is stand still.
Welcome to Faith Forward with Pastor Howard John Wesley of Alfred Street Baptist Church, an inspiring weekly series that will provide practical life applications and motivate you to step out of the shadows and move forward in your faith.
This week, as we continue with our sermon entitled Stand Still, Pastor Wesley uses 2 Chronicles verses 1 through 17 to remind us that sometimes God empowers us to fight. Other times, God continues to call us to stand still. So let's check it out.
The Bible says the Moabites have hooked up with the Ammonites who've hooked up with the Edomites. Now, the reason that's so important is because when the sermon's over, if you ask Judy, she'll tell you that the Ammonites don't even like the Moabites. And the Moabites can't stand the Edomites. And the Edomites ain't feeling the Ammonites, who don't like to be around the Moabites because they don't like the Edomites, and the Moabites and the Ammonites don't get along. None of them like each other. You know how evil you got to be to hook up with other folk you don't like just because the two of y'all don't like somebody else even more? And Jehoshaphat has to watch the evil of enemies who don't like each other hooking up together. And the word of the Lord to Jehoshaphat is, don't worry about them. Let them hook up, don't sweat it. Let them threaten you, don't worry about it. Don't count up their numbers, don't be afraid. Let them do what they're going to do, and you still stand still. Don't say nothing, don't do nothing. Just let them do what they're going to do. Let them lie. Let them plot. Let them plan. Let them deceive. Let them manipulate. Let them do whatever they're going to do, and you don't address it. Now, I can tell, because there's no amen, you're trying to figure out why I should do that. Reverend, you got to persuade me that that's the right thing to do. And here's the reason the Lord tells Jehoshaphat to do it. See if you catch it. Because what the Lord is telling Jehoshaphat is, look, listen, even though the Ammonites have hooked up with the Moabites, they got the Edomites, no matter who else they hook up with, I'm on your side. Okay, you get it. I'm trying to get it. No matter what they do, I'm on your side. And you've got to know that as long as I'm on your side, greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. If the Lord be for us, who can stand against us? He can take what was meant for your evil and work it together for your good. Oh, I wish I had a Bible reader. Fret not thyself over evildoers, neither be thou envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither away like the green herb. The Bible says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? You don't need to be afraid if God is on your side. Come here and watch what he says. This is deep. He says, listen, the reason I don't want you to be afraid of them is because I'm on your side. And whatever they do, they can't beat me. Listen, what the Lord says is their allegiance is foolish because they can't beat me. Hear me, beloved, and this is the first tweet of the sermon, and I hope you tweet it right. Evil is mean, but it's never smart. Ooh. Come here. Evil is wicked, but it's never wise. Evil always has a flawed strategy. Evil always has some inconsistency. And so the Lord says, listen, I want you to stand still. Because you can't out evil, evil. But you can outthink it. You can't out ugly, ugly. But you can be smarter. And if you stand still, evil will always reveal its foolishness. evil will always reveal where the hole in its thinking is. If you stand still, the Lord has a way of revealing to you the flaw of the strategy of those who are trying to destroy you, and you can thank God that he's not giving you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. And if you use your sound mind, you can see the flaw in the strategy of the ones who are trying to destroy you. You want to know who's running their mouth? Stand still. The Lord will show it to you. You want to know why the weapon formed won't work? Stand still. And the Lord will reveal it. The Lord says, just endure their evil and stand still. He says, not only do I want you to endure the evil of the enemy, but secondly, to stand still means that you resist your reflex for revenge. Ooh, scoot over. Come on, I'm going to come sit right there, right there. He says, because I know your instinct is to get even. Lord says, I want you to resist your natural instinct for revenge. Watch this. Let me tell you what's problematic about these enemies that are coming against Jehoshaphat. Because when the sermon's over, if you ask Judy, she'll tell you that the problem with Moab, Ammon, and Edom coming against Jehoshaphat is this. That when the children of Israel came out of Egypt and began their conquer of the promised land, these are the same people that the Lord said, don't destroy. Israel could have destroyed Moab, could have destroyed Ammon, and could have destroyed the Edomites, but the Lord told them not to. And so Jehoshaphat is wondering, now, we spared you when we could have killed you, and now you're repaying us by coming together and trying to take from us what we should have that God gave when we were nothing but kind to you. Beloved, it's one thing when you know why folk hate you. It's another when you ain't been nothing but kind and loving and compassionate as you can, and yet they still speak against you and try to destroy you. Now I don't care how holy you are on Sunday. When folk repay your kindness with revenge and seek to destroy you, you want to get even. And the Lord says, stand still. Because when revenge is your motivation, God is no longer your inspiration. Come here. Because revenge reveals your lack of faith in God. When you're operating in revenge, you're not operating in faith. Faith says that whatever you do to me, I've got a God who sees and knows. I've got a God who will handle in his way. I've got a God who will bless me in spite of what you've done to me. I've got a God who will handle the folk who are trying to handle me, which is why he says vengeance. Oh, y'all read the Bible now. Vengeance is mine. Lord says, listen, I want you to resist the reflex for revenge because even though you're spiritual, I know you, you want to get even. And then, you know, because we go to church, Faye, we sanctify, we put some scripture on it. Mm-hmm. Do unto others. That's what the Bible says. Lord says, I want you to endure their evil. I want you to resist the reflex for revenge. And then watch this. The Lord says, when I say stand still, I want you to stand in a sanctified space. Watch what goes down. Jahaziel tells Jehoshaphat, if you want to see God fight, you have to stand right here. You can't stand over there because that's not where God called you to stand. The Lord says, stand here if you want to see me fight your battles. Because the command of the Lord is, I need to know, will you be obedient when others are being evil? That's a real word, because the devil convinces you when someone's been evil that you can adopt a Malcolm X philosophy by any means necessary and that God ordains you to do whatever you want to do. But the Lord says, no, even when people have done you wrong, I need you to stand right here. I need you to stand in love when they're operating in hate. I need you to stand in compassion when they're operating in ugly. I need you to stand in truth when they're operating in lies. I need you to stand in righteousness when they're operating in ungodliness. I need you to stand in kindness when they're operating in ugly. That if you don't stand where the Lord calls us to stand, you cannot see God fight this for you. God cannot fight for you if you stand in darkness. Well, I knew it'd get quiet there. He says, endure their evil, resist the reflex for revenge, stand in a sanctified space, and finally, watch this. The Lord says to stand still means to prepare for the performance of God's promises. Get yourself ready to see God move. This is what Jehoshaphat says. He said, Lord, we don't know what to do. Never seen it like this. Never had it this rough. Never had this many enemies. But this much we know. Our eyes are watching you. We're not worried about them anymore. We're watching God because we believe that before this thing is over, the Lord is going to show up and the Lord will make a way. You know, this reminds me of Ed coming up in Chicago. I was born in the 70s, came of age in the 80s and 90s. Anybody that was in Chicago in the late 80s and 90s, they have some swag about them because we introduced y'all to the greatest basketball player in the history of basketball. The Bulls in our era were arguably the best team up to date. We won back-to-back-to-back twice because we had Michael Jordan. Let me tell you how bad Michael Jordan was. Michael Jordan was such an awesome basketball player that whenever he played and NBC aired his games, NBC changed their production protocol for airing an NBA game. Any other game, they had a certain number of cameras on the floor. But when Michael was on the floor, they hired an extra camera whose only job was to keep that camera on Michael Jordan at all times. Even when Mike was on the bench and wasn't playing, the camera was on Michael Jordan. And when the executive director of sports programming at NBC was asked why they had a camera solely dedicated to Michael Jordan, this is what he said. Because he's so phenomenal that we know before the game is over, he's going to do something magical, and we don't want to miss the magic of Michael. I came by to tell you that if NBC can keep a camera on Michael Jordan, then surely you ought to keep your eyes on the Lord and believe that no matter what the battle, before it is over, the Lord is going to make his presence known and fight your battle.
You've been listening to Stand Still here on Faith Forward with Pastor Howard John Wesley. We'll be right back.
We invite everyone to download the official church app of the Alford Street Baptist Church. This is the ultimate mobile church app and will provide you with the most relevant and up-to-date information from Alford Street Baptist Church. You'll be able to watch live services and stay connected with Alford Street. This app will help both believers and non-believers grow in their faith and will provide easy access to life-changing audio and video sermons, upcoming events, and relative information about Alford Street Baptist Church. You'll also be able to share content with your friends via Twitter and Facebook. So don't wait. Download the Alford Street Baptist Church app today, which is available on all Apple and Android Google platforms.
You've been listening to Faith Forward with Pastor Howard John Wesley of Alford Street Baptist Church. If you would like to download this sermon and or find out how you can support this ministry, be sure to visit alfordstreet.org. Remember, Alford Street Baptist Church has four opportunities for you to worship with us every weekend, in person and or online. Please visit alfordstreet.org for details.
And now back to Stand Still with Pastor Howard John Wesley.
Years ago, God gave the vision of us expanding our campus to be able to expand our ministry inside and outside of our church walls. The desire was never to build to receive more members, it's to build to do more ministry to change the world. A few years ago, while talking with the architects and the designers, it became apparent that in order to fulfill that vision, it would affect 22 families who live in the residences just here south of the church. And I want to be honest with you that caused a lot of prayerful concern in leadership, because those are families. Those are people. Those are mothers and fathers and children. And we are not some corporate developer who's trying to make millions of dollars building townhomes in this city. We care about people. We didn't see how we could do this. And so we began to pray because we wanted to do things in a way that honored God. So for over 2 years, we've been praying and planning and investigating to develop a plan that over a four-year period does not force any resident out of their home, but rather offers them adequate, if not upgraded, still affordable housing within the local area that they can make a decision to move into or not. And we've even made a commitment to the elderly to keep them in Old Town West in some of the other housing that we have so that they don't have to move after having been here some 20, some 30 years. We believe that that was the compassionate answer from the Lord. And so we scheduled a meeting this past Thursday to sit down with those residents because they had heard rumoring of what we were going to do. And we wanted to show our Christian compassion and hear their concerns and give them truth rather than misinformation. On the day of the meeting, Thursday, an article dropped in the Alexandria Gazette that, in my opinion, was incomplete and irresponsible. The title of the article was "The Making of a Mega Church." And the article interviewed a disgruntled, affluent homeowner who does not want Alfred Street to grow and to build. If you haven't read it, you can when you get home. The homeowner suggested that all we do is cause parking problems. That's all we do. Said that we are poor parkers, that we bump into cars and we squeeze in. I said, he ain't talking about our street because we drive Mercedes. Ain't nobody bumping no Mercedes. Ain't scratching up my Lexus. There was accusations levied against the church that were unfounded and untrue, suggesting some underhanded deal with a bike share program to have rental bikes on our property. Nobody want no bikes on, nobody ride no bike to church. In the world, I want some bikes. Somebody even quoted and said that our church we're trying to build is a monstrosity. Inflammatory language. And the article made me mad. I grabbed copies of it, brought it to the office, and slammed it down on everybody's desk. I said, read this. And I was upset because accusations were made that were unfounded. I was upset because the only one really interviewed in the residence was an affluent homeowner across the street, but never was an attempt made to interview the actual residents of color who are on this side of the street that will be affected by the build. You can't tell a right story only interviewing the folk with money. Now I got mad. Yes, I did. I had to go home and pray about it. I was mad because you can't tell me it was coincidence that it dropped on the same night that we had a meeting with the residents intentionally meant to inflame them with issues that were unfounded and untrue. We already knew we were going to have some questions, and now it's even worse by the article. So I went home to pray. When I came back, Rosette gave me a letter of a petition of some other homeowners who had written a letter to myself, the deacons, and the trustees, and they said that we want your church to be aware, so I'm going to read you what they said. We are galvanizing the community and citywide to publicly and persistently oppose your building because the church you desire to build does not belong in this neighborhood. Ten, nine. And we've been in meetings where there were those who sat at the table and said to us, you all don't belong here any longer. You need to move out to Manassas. And I just want to tell you what I told them so that I'm not misquoted. This land that this church sits on was purchased by slaves in 1855. And I'd be good and daggone if we ever give up land that our forefathers and our foremothers gave of their best so that there could be a black presence in this city. We were here before those homes were even built, and ain't nobody going nowhere. Talking about y'all need to move. You move. We'll be at 8 services before I think about moving this church. So we knew it was gonna be a bad meeting. Because now media is gonna show up. Those who've read it are inflamed, false accusations, and I'm mad. I know you want to be holy, but I'm mad. I told Rosette, you know what? I'm tired of this. I'm going to that meeting tonight. I'm a Donald Trump, folk. I'm going in there Trump. I'm just Trump. No, you know, life will push you there. Life will push you there. Ain't nobody going to be nice. I'm going to say what I feel like saying. And then my phone rang. Show you how God works. Bishop John Borders called me. Now, if you don't know who John Borders is, he's preached for us before. Pastors of the Morningstar Baptist Church up in Boston, Massachusetts. He's one of my spiritual mentors. Faye, he's probably the only person on earth that could call me and tell me the Lord gave him a word for me and I receive it. You know, you can't listen to everybody tell you what the Lord told you. You'll mess yourself up. John Borders called and he asked me how I was doing. I said, Bishop, I'm all right. I began to tell him about the building project, the 22 residents. Began to tell him about the meeting having, the article dropping, the petition standing against us. And this is what he said to me. He said, son, stand still. I don't want to hear that. I'm channeling my Donald Trump. I ain't nobody trying to hear that. He says, son, did you think you would build without opposition? He said, there are members of your church who don't even want you to build. Raise your hand. Raise. This is what he said. He said, son, listen. He said, listen to me as your father in ministry. He said, the meeting is going to be rough. He said, God's going to show up, but not at first. You have to stand still and endure what you're about to go through. That's when the sermon was birthed, in that moment. Because Borders was telling me, endure it. Don't be vengeful. Stay Christ-like. And he said, and watch for God to show up. So let me tell you what happened Thursday. We called a meeting. 60-plus residents showed up, including the 22 who'll be affected by the move. And when the meeting started, things were a little tense. Questions were being asked. Comments were being made. People wanted to know what was happening. What is the church's plan? And we've heard this and we've heard that. And we had prayerfully made a decision as leaders to just stand, be compassionate, and be honest. So I took the microphone and I began to speak to the residents to tell them about our plan. How over the next 4 years, nobody's forced out. That we're trying to develop opportunities that are equal, if not upgraded, that's still affordable, to be certain that you stay in the neighborhood you want to raise your children in, that our elderly will be able to stay in this area, that we will do everything we can within our means, even at our own expense, to be certain that these families are treated with Christ-like compassion. And y'all, midway through that meeting, God showed up. Because what started as heated questions transitioned into testimonies from the residents who are going to be affected about how blessed their lives have been by this church. Can I brag on God for a minute? An African sister stood up with almost tears in her eyes, and she said, "My family has been blessed by this church. My kids go to tutoring for free every Monday. Every Christmas, we have gifts under our tree from the church. Every Thanksgiving, we eat a meal that the church has provided. Every school year, they get book packs with all supplies and coats to wear. In spring break, they watch movies at the church. And when our lights were going to be shut off, the church paid the bill for me and my family." Brothers getting up, declaring how blessed they've been by the church and how we've always gone above and beyond. And the 22 residents who'll be affected, not one complained about what was happening. They were grateful that the church had taken the lead and was serious about being compassionate and helping them rather than forcing them out. Not one complained. "I ain't done. Can I brag on God?" After the meeting was over, the reporter hang around, who wrote the article, and wanted to talk to me about my feelings about it and be certain that there was balance and understand where I was upset. "Don't tell me what God can't do. That God will work on the hearts of those who are trying to harm you and use them to turn things around in your favor. God will show up." Can I brag on God? I ain't done. The next day, we got an email from another group of homeowners who were not opposed to the building, who said, "Thank God for Alfred Street in this whole town, that you all have been kind and hired extra security to make certain that people don't block our driveways." Please don't park in folks' driveways. "That we've given out salt, that we've shoveled snow, that we've invited them in, that we gave them passes to get through the traffic when the president was here." And they began to brag about how blessed they were and that they were not in opposition to us, but that they were homeowners in support of what God is doing. Don't tell me what God can't do.
You've been listening to Faith Forward with Pastor Howard John Wesley of Alfred Street Baptist Church. If you would like to download this sermon and or find out how you can support this ministry, be sure to visit alfredstreet.org. Remember, Alfred Street Baptist Church has 4 opportunities for you to worship with us every weekend, in person and or online. Please visit alfredstreet.org for details.